Seated. Come on, Brother Mike.
That was two great songs right there. And it had me thinking just how important it is to apply everything to you.
Yes.
If you're not applying it to you, the Bible is just a bunch of words that people are using to lie, steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
And then saying that all those things are wrong. And I was thinking of the words in the back there that says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, apply that to yourself. Look at what Jesus is doing for you now. Then look at your past of how he had his hand on you before you even knew it, before you even loved him. I think of some of the crazy stuff I did before I got this message that I survived somehow.
Yes.
I think of things that I've done
while
I've been in a message and survived somehow. It's Jesus Christ is with you the same. He saw you from the beginning, before the world was even created.
That's right.
You were already in the book. He already had your name written down before that.
Amen.
He knew where you were going to walk to. He was protecting you the whole way. He was protecting that seed that was in you at all times.
Amen.
Making sure your entire path came to this point right now.
Amen.
It was all in there. And then I sit there and look in the future. And it's like, he's already, look at all he's done for me so far. He's already shown a pattern that he's going to take care of
me
all the way through. There's nothing for me to worry about.
Right.
All I have to do is just enjoy life.
That's it.
There's no condemnation. I don't condemn myself for the things that I allow. It's no trick. I don't sit there
and think,
I wonder if I really should. No, I shouldn't do it, and I'm going to do it anyway. It happens. Okay. But I know that the same God who had me in the past is the same God that has me now, and is the same God that will always take care of me like he always has.
Always.
My natural parents have always taken care of me. How much more is God going to take care of you because he has an agape love for you? There's therefore now no condemnation, and see yourself in the scriptures to make it worth, make it something. It becomes living when it lives in you.
Amen. Go ahead, brother. God bless you, Brother Mike.
Amen. You know, this morning I was thinking about something. It's along the same line as what Brother Mike was saying. And it's just basically the truth.
Yes.
You know, we get fed here nothing but the truth.
Amen.
And, that becomes me.
Yes.
That's it. I'm feeding on the word.
You are what you
can't help it. That's it. So this truth, the truth that lives in me, Brother Mike said, you got to bring it home. You know, it's got to be personal.
Amen.
So,
yes.
You know, that truth is in me. So what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way. I'm the life.
Amen.
No man can come to the Father but by me.
That's
it. Well, if you're going to bring that home, you know, that makes me the truth because I'm feeding on the word.
Amen.
I'm the truth. So I can say in this hour, that what Jesus said, you know, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the life. No man can come to the Father but by me.
Amen.
You know, that's bringing it home to you. That's the personal revelation that I see for myself. I mean, each one of us has that, but I'm speaking for me. You know, I am the way. You know, people look at you like you're crazy when you say something like that, but you know
what?
Thank God for the truth. And the other thing is, you know, the reason why we could say that is because those seals have been ripped off for us.
Amen.
You know, and to the church world, those seals are still bound. I mean, that Bible is still bound. They have no idea.
Right.
You know, what's
still sealed.
From Genesis to Revelations.
Amen.
We have that revelation.
Yes.
God is such a good God. I thank God that my eyes are open, that I can see the word for my day.
Amen.
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 Amen. Go ahead, Brother Dustin.
Yeah, I was sitting there thinking about what Brother Mike was saying. You know, it's kind of an old testimony, but my testimony's not old. It's always fresh. It's always real. Last week, whatever, Brother Isaiah cut it off. But had I had a chance to say something, I would have said the same thing that I'm going to say now.
Yeah.
It was for today, obviously. But nonetheless, you know, it's such a rest and such a comfort.
Amen.
Such a satisfaction.
Yes.
You know, you almost don't know how to put it in words.
Right.
Because the words don't mean so much as what the life behind it. And you know, I can't express the life behind it. I can only try to put it in words.
Amen.
But, you know, I'm in such peace that he's got it.
Yeah. Yes.
Such a peace that I've got it.
Amen.
You know, there's no difference.
There's no difference.
You know, I'm living this life.
Yeah.
Day to day. Satan's not even in my picture.
That's right.
I will never go back to that at all.
No, you can't.
the things I face in life is just life.
Yes, that's it.
I don't give Satan credit for nothing.
No.
Oh, Satan did this. Satan can't do anything unless God allows him. And if God allows him, just like with Job, I get a blessing out of it. I get a revelation out of it.
That's right.
So all that's in his hands. All that's all for my good.
Amen.
I have such a peace and such a rest. I don't have to be excited. I don't have to be down. I don't have to work anything up.
Amen.
I'm living my life day to day to day. I'm following my nose,
Amen.
So to speak. You know, I'm a son of God led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And that's not a great thing. I've got to get all in a certain place where God leads me. God leads me with every heartbeat. And it's such a peace, such a rest, such a comfort that I don't know how to put it into words. I mean, it's just simply is the way it is. And I'm so thankful for that. Because me and my wife were looking on the way coming to church, you know, and you see all these cars in the driveway, all these cars parked on the street. Scores of people don't even give God a second thought. Sunday is just another day off. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'm so thankful that
Amen.
It crossed my path.
Amen.
And I said, I want that.
Amen.
I said,
Amen.
That.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful how this works. And so thankful for a full understanding. You know, and all you're getting, get an understanding. And, you know, I understand where everything sits. And I'm content.
Amen. Amen. Hey, man, I'm going to take a change up here real quick. We got Kentucky in the house. Brother Hicks or Sister Judy, you want to come up and say something, sing a song? God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you, sis.
Praise him for where he's brought me.
Yes.
Amen. You know, we was talking yesterday, you know, God's brought me a mighty long way.
Amen.
As far back as I can remember, you know, he come looking for me.
That's right.
He come looking for me when I was just a little girl.
Yeah.
You know, little girls don't usually do that. But,
right, right.
But I did.
Come on.
Everybody's got a story.
Something,
you know,
within.
God come looking for me when I was a little girl and
oh,
I didn't know nothing
goodness.
About it. But he just reeled me in just like a fisherman. A little at a time.
Oh,
and I thank
my,
you
my.
So much. I thank God. I didn't do this.
I didn't do
you
it.
You done it for me.
That's right. Oh,
and
yes.
Now, why shouldn't I praise him? Why shouldn't I love him? Why shouldn't I want to do what
oh,
he wants
my
me to
goodness.
Do? I love him so much. I know I fail him, but it's in my heart to want to do what he wants me to do. And I know he's the one that put it there. I'm just so thankful for this word. I can see it so, you know, I've been around a long time. But I know on one hand that don't mean a thing. But yet I know I have stood. I have stood with everything that I know to stand for. I have stood and I thank God. I think, oh Lord, it ain't me.
Amen.
But he's put it in me and I thank God, you know, it's just so wonderful. You can't describe it. You can't tell nobody because it is personal. It's personal. And I just
oh, yes.
Oh, you guys was talking this morning,
oh,
you know.
My goodness.
You know, the devil still talks to me, though. I want to get like you,
he'll
Brother
talk.
God. That I just kick that rooster.
Yeah, yeah.
but he's still in there all the time. You ain't nothing. You
right.
ain't nothing, you know. But I think, no, I know
oh,
I was. Back
goodness.
When I was, and he's brought me all this way.
Amen.
Yes.
And I'm standing. And I said, Lord, I'm standing
oh,
on what I know.
Amen.
And I just, you know, I just wanted to say that. I just wanted to tell him how
oh,
I love him.
You said a lot.
I love him, and it's in my heart
yes.
to please him and do
Amen.
What he wants me to
Amen.
Do. I love him, and I thank God for my husband.
Oh,
I thank God for my husband.
Oh, my
I can
goodness.
Remember years ago, I was telling Clarice and Dawn last night, I used to sit in church, and I was already married.
Yeah.
The first time. And I was sitting in church, and I would see other women sitting with their husbands. And in my heart was burning. I think, Lord, I want a husband. You know, not that I didn't want my husband at the time, but that was my desire to serve to somebody to serve with me. And there's nothing no better, people, to have a husband that's right by your side and walking
every
with you.
Step of the way.
And but God, you know, He gave me that desire.
Yeah.
It took many years down the road. But He still give me that desire.
That's right. Amen.
And I thank God for Him because He's helped me so much. Oh, my Lord, He's helped me so much. And He's my rock. You know, I look at Him, I think, oh, God, You give me what I wanted. Because He knew what I needed. He knew what I needed. So, but anyway, I thank God for it. Do y'all mind if I try to sing?
Oh, we've got time. Amen.
I'm glad to be here. One more time. One more time. I thank God. I thank God for my wife.
Amen.
I mean, you know, people look at different things. A divorce. Your church world, a divorce. I didn't believe in them at all. I mean, I understood, didn't. And didn't want one. But I wound up through a divorce to get here.
Amen. By and by.
You know, it's just, you go to looking back at your past, just like you're talking about, how He has done this and done that.
Yeah.
And done this and done that. The things that we've taught that was wrong, that you can't do. But here I am.
Amen.
That's all I can say. I'm here.
Come on.
And I thank God for it. And I thank God for my wife because she has helped me along. Because when I got a divorce, I said I'll never get married again. It was 9 years, just about 9 years before that, though. But I couldn't go nowhere. I couldn't go somewhere. I was dating her, but I couldn't go nowhere. And I thank God for that.
Amen. Amen, Amen. Brother Hicks.
My soul cries out, oh Lord, how long till my tolling ends and You call me home. Since I caught a glimpse behind the curtain of time, nothing in this world can change my mind. Is that the crystal sea? Is that the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony? Oh, the lights of home, it's a welcome sight to me. Seems I can hear the angels sing on harps of gold and a thousand strings. Earth holds no charm. Sweet Beulah Land, my home, sweet home, is at the light of home I see. Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? Is that the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony? Oh, the lights of home, it's a welcome sight to me. Oh, the lights of home, it's a welcome sight to me.
Amen.
Oh, good to see everybody. Amen.
Oh. Amen, Lord. I think I better get up here. I don't know what made me just jump up, but thank God for that.
Amen.
I thought, well, pull it back, but I'm up here now. I just ask you to keep my dad in your prayers. He fell the other day out of his bed just in time for us to order a bed rail, but he fell before the bed rail. He was okay, but, you know, we heard a big fall, you know. Mm-hmm. We run the other room, and the first thing you think, is he hurt? But I'm just thankful that the first thing I thought was Jesus, and just started praying for him.
Amen.
And he was fine.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. He was fine. My husband got him up, and he said, I'm fine. I feel good. So
Amen.
Just keep him in your prayers. But the song I'm going to play is called Oceans. Some of you may be familiar with it. The lyrics are beautiful. And
Amen.
It just says, you call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where my feet may fail, and there I find your mystery. In oceans deep, my faith will stand.
Amen.
So I didn't want to mic myself today because I got a high note and I didn't want to blow you all out of here. So, so I'll play it through that. So.
Thank you. the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. And like you, Sister Judy, we were talking. When you think about all the places that he has brought you from and how he's guided your footsteps, each and every one, the good ones, what the bad ones, there aren't any mistakes. He has guided us all the way. So if we have time, Isaiah, can we sing a song?
Yeah.
Or do you want to? Okay. You know, it's a beautiful thing to be obedient. We come in here, we have so much praise. We have so much honor to give God. I don't want to be on the floor all the time. But I always want to always come in that door, drop in that dimension.
Yeah.
And it is
drop
the most,
right in.
It is absolutely heavenly places.
Yeah.
Okay, sister.
Amen.
I was ready last week, so I had my words with me, but it's okay. I'm always ready whenever God wants me to be
ready. Amen.
So I have my words on my phone. Thank God for technology. Coming in clutch for sure. Oh, I mean it. I always mean it. Out of the mouth of the holy, unto the word I read. Voice of the great provider, everything we need. Shelter in time of fear, telling me God is here. This is the word of God. Open your hearts, believe it. We are the word of God. Humble yourselves, receive it. Listen and understand, yes, that we are the Son of Man. Amen. God's great master plan, the Word of God. There is a war of possession, we are the battlefield. The Lord has given a weapon, and in his word revealed. Spirit of sin. I messed the words up. Whatever. Power of Jesus Christ. We are the word of God. Open your hearts, believe it. We are the word of God. Humble yourselves, receive it. Listen and understand that we are the Son of Man. God's great master plan, the word of God. And in the darkest hour, the only light, alive with heaven's power to win the fight. We are the word of God. Open your hearts, believe it. We are the word of God. Humble yourselves, receive it. Listen and understand that we are the Son of Man. God's great master plan, the the word of God. The word of God. The word of God. The word of God.
Amen. Brother Kevin, you'll be the last one.
Thank God for being here this morning. It's so hard to be sitting in this pews and not say anything. God is so good. The one thing that's been on my heart, and actually just talking this way, is coming to church, is I thank God to have a desire to come to church. Amen. I really do. I mean, you can say it was, you can be overemphasis. We can never be overemphasis because, I mean, you got people in the world that don't have a bit of love for God at all. And it's sad. I put everything before God. I put money before God. I put a house before God. I put a job before God.
Come on.
I thank God that I'm not into all of that because I was telling Sway, you can talk about somebody having money. What if God takes that money away from you? Then what you going to do?
Yeah.
What you going to do then? Because God's the one that gave you the money, right?
Yeah.
He
yeah.
did, right?
We're
thinking that we did something yourself. You didn't do anything to get that money. God allowed you to have the money. So, you know, I don't put my emphasis on that because I've been in the highs and been in the
right.
lows.
Yeah.
That ain't going to change anything.
Come
it don't
on.
Change nothing. This word never changes at
right.
all. So you got to put your emphasis on what the right thing is, and it's getting out of here.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean? I'm looking forward to that. I don't care about all this other stuff. I don't care about politics. I don't care about Biden. I don't care about Trump. I can care less about that. I'm not worried about all of that. I don't care. The world's going to is in turmoil anyway, so you're not going to change anything. If you put your emphasis on that, you set yourself for failure. And I tell Sway, stop focusing on that stuff. I do. And I tried to get mad at her because I know she loves animals. That's, if you don't know, she loves animals. She does. And I know it tears her up when she sees certain things. And I try to tell her, babe, it has to be this way. I mean, I don't know what really to say it. You know what I mean? It's sad, and I get it. I get it, because there's things that I don't like. I see homeless people all the time, and it breaks my heart because, you know, when I'm outdoor dashing, I see it. It tears me up. It does. I mean, but God always said the poor are always going to be with you. If God says it, then what are you shocked about? What are you really shocked about? God does not lie, right? He doesn't lie. So what are you shocked about? I mean, I think we live in this delusion. When God says something, that it's gonna come to pass. It always comes to pass. It always does.
It's a delusion.
It's a delusion. Stop focusing on what's out there in the world. Focus on the word of God.
Amen.
And thank God that you came here one more time and focus on it. And pay attention to it. Don't just come here sitting in the pews and wasting time because you're just wasting your time. That's all you're doing. That's all you're doing. Why get out of bed if you're just going to sit there and not even do anything? Get involved. Be enthused. Read your Bible. Right? Take down some notes. And if not, then get out of here. Because all you're doing is wasting your time. I mean, it burns me up. It does. Enjoy God. Thank God that you woke up this morning. Thank God you have a roof over your head. Thank God. Thank God.
Amen.
I got Isaiah's permission to say something. I saw my mom sneak in here. She is sneaky. I've been inviting her for weeks, and I'll try to come. But tomorrow, get in here. I see you. Tomorrow's our birthdays. She'll be 38, and I'll be 18.
Amen.
And that's my nephew back there, Matthew. I'm so proud of that young man right there. He looks sharp. He looks like me.
Yeah.
And yesterday was quite an adventure.
Yeah.
24-hour driving experience. 3 a.m. to 3 a.m. with Isaiah. This guy here, oh my God, we to go to a funeral in Richmond, Virginia, and it was a blessing to be there and just be God and to those people, and they touched us. They really touched us. It was a good service. The pastor that led the thing was sincere. They did a couple things different that I'd never seen before and liked it, and it was good, you know, and he was asleep at one point while I was driving. The road construction, whatever, it was bup, 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 all of a sudden. He wakes up, about punches my mirror off. I said, it's okay, bro. I got it. It's just the road. It's just the road. You know, don't trip. Don't trip. Go back to sleep. Get your little blanket on. Go back to sleep. I got it. So I was just, you know, God works in mysterious ways. I'm because we're going to a funeral, you know, it's sad, but I'm thankful for an opportunity to do something for my brother.
Yeah.
You know, to give back. It's brotherly love. You know, I'm my brother's keeper. You know, these are my real friends in here. So anything I can do to give back, I'm thankful for the opportunity.
Amen.
Amen. So, thanks for letting me be the last one.
Let me get these announcements out of the way here real quick. Men's Fellowship, May 4th. Now, May's coming up. Just if in a few days. So we got a lot of things to cover in May. And then we've got True Word Tabernacle in Bluffton, May 5th. Church leaves at 9. Sister Jada's graduation from high school is May 24th at 4 p.m., and there's going to be more to come on that. Women's Fellowships, June 1st. And Brother James and Brother Jeremiah are leaving for Elkton June 8th and 9th. Then we've got the church camping trip to Indiana in July 20th. And there's going to be more to come on that, more signups in the back. So just stay tuned. Keep yourself open. Amen. And, you know, I know I'm kind of wearing a dead flower up here, but it just means a lot to me. Just because, you know, when I, you know, it's funny because it was a long drive. And, you know, at first, you know, you can think, like, Lord, why am I even doing this? I don't just drop everything to go to do something out of my schedule. I'm going to tell you that right there, because I have a lot to do, you know, but when God does something, when he puts something inside you to move you, don't question it. Drop your thinking. Just do. That's all I can say. But when we were on our way down there, you know, I was concerned, like, you know, what if they don't remember me? It's been over 25 years since I've even seen him or his family, and I'm coming up with all these excuses. And then me and Skylar look at each other and we're like, he's like, are you talking from Moses' group or Joshua's group? I'm like, oh. So, you know, you recognize real quick, the bridle turned quick to the word, you know. So I was like, you know what, I don't even have to worry. So I didn't worry, you know. And as we got closer to the place, you know, I just start thinking about the memories. And it's so fitting how, you know, some people was coming up talking about their past. You know, I'm happy for all of your guys' past. I'm happy for my past, because without our past, we would not be here today. I don't live with any regrets because of this word, because if I took one thing out of Cater in my life or out of your life, we wouldn't be standing here with this testimony, sweet as honey. And it ain't even bitter anymore. I'm way past the bitterness. This thing tastes good. It feels good. And he knows what he's doing. So when we get down there, it's like they knew we were coming. They were waiting for God. So when we get there, I got to see the mom. She's like, wow, you've changed a lot. I said, yeah, because I used to have a lot of hair. You know, I had a big old fro, you know. And that they remembered me by my little street name. I won't mention that. But I was, you know, a little heathen back in the day. But, you know, thank God for our past and thank God for what we got right now, you know. And so, As the service went forward and stuff, it was just so beautiful. You could just feel the love there. You know, when you walk in this place, you could feel God's presence in here. God's presence came in because I brought him with me. Me and Brother Skylar came there, and it was first class all the way. And it's just almost as if, you know, my friend was like, Isaiah, just take it from here. I already know you got it. So I got to meet his son for the first time, and his son's going into the military, and I was like, Lord, just bless him, touch him, watch, keep your hedge of protection over him. And he was the first one to get up, talk about his daddy. And I said, there it is, because when I start seeing the youth move like that, because they move in here, I'm like, oh, I'm following him. There it is. So, you know, I got up, you know, gave my testimony, and then it was encouraging for everybody else to get up after, you know, and there was a few testimonies and stuff, but it was overall just beautiful. You know, the drive down there, me and Skylar were looking at the landscape and just appreciating God. And then that was kind of like the theme there, you know, like just appreciate God. You know, time is short. Our life's like a vapor. And when he broke that scripture out, me and Brother Skylar looking, I was like, you preached that, didn't you? So I'm so happy and I'm so pleased with what God's doing with his whole program right now. I'm so content. I would never trade my shoes for anybody else's. And, that's that. So without further ado, let's go ahead and sing song number 6 out of The Only Believe, Oh How I Love Jesus. Amen. And then we'll get them up. God bless you. Thank you for the testimonies.
Amen. Just real quick, Mom, I'm sitting about 7 rows back on this side. So you and Matthew, you can come on up and sit with me, okay? Go on up there.
Praise him, praise him.
There is a name. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my
Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for giving us your love. For God so loved the world that he gave. When you love something, you'll give back to it. And Lord, we love you. So we want to give back to you. Father, we come here this morning with many needs, many requests. Every one of us here are needing you to come and stop by here for a minute to speak to our hearts. I've heard you this morning. I've heard you talking already. And ask you, Lord, to continue to speak to us today. Lord, move everything, every hindering spirit out of the way that, Lord, your word might have its free reign here this afternoon. That, Lord, when we leave here today, we can walk out of here more determined, more sure than we've ever been in our lives. Thank you for coming amongst us and being a part of us. Thank you for healing the sick. Thank you for answering questions. Thank you for solving problems. Thank you for making a way. Thank you for putting a door there that in every temptation we can have a way out. Lord, we ask you to come by here today. Move in this place. Thank you for the word that I've laid over before the people. I ask you to come and speak to our hearts for a few minutes. Have your way today in Troy. And Father, be with that congregation as they've lost a strong man in their congregation. And Lord, though he's already gone, they're still going to celebrate his life. And we ask you to just be with them through this time. Bless your bride around the world. Touch Sister Early, who's going to be going for surgery. Bring her through, Lord. Ask you to touch Brother George in Africa, who always asks to be remembered. Ask you to just move there and move amongst us here this afternoon, this morning, this day. Just have your way with us, Father. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're going to read before you sit down, since we've got you already standing. At least you were standing last time I saw you. Good to be here. I want to read this one scripture here, and then Amen. We'll be seated. It's Romans chapter 9. Place I love to go, but can't get out of it once you get in there. I could read the whole chapter, but I don't want to. I'll just jump down to save time. Just as a reminder, today is the day that they're going to do the memorial service for Brother Bill Twist in Troy. He passed away, and at the first part of the month, and they're doing a memorial service for him today. I'm going to go pretty much immediately following this service. I'm going to go, and if you got the address, because they sent that out. But if those of you who know him, most of you don't probably know him, because we haven't actually fellowshiped with him for a long time. But he's a real friend, and I want to go then support the family and the church and represent us. So. But I'm going to go probably right after service. So if that preacher don't preach long today, I want to get out of here pretty quickly, because I got a long, busy day. We got and Sister Judy, I blame her for tonight's Bible study, because I had in my mind I was wanting to cancel it, and she was down in Kentucky praying I wouldn't, and her prayer superseded mine. So we're going to be back from the memorial service this afternoon, and we'll be back here tonight at 7 for Bible study. And you're welcome to come. I'm going to ask Jeremiah to help us out this evening. And it's going to be a long day, but it's a good day. What better thing can you do than to serve God all day long? That's a good thing. So let's read so you all can sit down. I know you all wanting to. Romans chapter 9, and to save time, I'm going to jump down to verse 11. And this is talking about Cain and Abel. Yes. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy,
yes,
and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Yes. So it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of those words. You may be seated. I like the title this message this morning. For I'd like to title it, The Purpose of God. And I wanted to start here. There's many places I could have started. But I wanted to start here because it's amazing how that God can love one and hate the other. It's amazing that God could choose one. And y'all's testimonies this morning was right in there. I mean, every one of them was right in there. That God could love one and hate the other. He could choose one and not the other. He could save one and not the other. Now, people, they wonder what kind of God, what kind of God would do a thing like that? And I could read the whole chapter 9 because the whole story is right there. And when you read it, you almost feel like God doesn't love everybody. And that's the truth. He does not love everybody. He loves his own. And when he knew Jacob and Esau, now you got to remember, God didn't just find Jacob and Esau. God knew them. He knew them before. God knows whether you're going to do right or wrong. He does. You don't sneak up on him. You don't make it up. And then God says, oh my goodness, what did he do? You're never going to sneak up on him because God has already declared the end from the beginning. I mean, he's declared it. He already knows the end. You see, and I like it the way God talks, because God doesn't talk the way we talk. God doesn't read the way we read. God doesn't speak the way we speak. We talk from the beginning to the end. But God doesn't play that way. He says, I already know it from the end to the beginning. So see, God knew your end before he even knew your beginning. And he looked at you from your end point. You're finished. See, that's why you don't need to worry too much about your goodness and your righteousness and what you can offer and what you can give, because God's already seen your end. He already knows what you're going to do. And whatever you're trying to make up here in the beginning, well, he's already looking at, if I already know who's going to win the race, why am I worrying about the starting line? And that's the way God did. God already declared the end from the beginning. He already looked at all that he called. See, I'm already getting ahead of myself. All that he called, he justified. And all that he justified, he glorified already. He's not going to try to do it at some point. He's already in God's mind. See, God's mind is different than yours. We think, therefore it is. In God's mind, it is. Therefore, he speaks. See, when God talks, it's got substance behind it. That's right. Yes. A lot of people talking, and all it is hot air. Well, yeah. But when God says anything, amen. He cannot lie. Amen. He cannot fail. Amen. He cannot change his mind. Amen. He can't decide he's going to do differently. So if God ever declared the end from the beginning, that means he already knows what you're going to do before you do it. Amen. He already knew you were going to be here today. He already made this service just for your liking because he already knew you were going to be here. He picked this message for you because he knew you were going to need it. So God don't come here and decide who's here today and now let me talk to you. Oh no, God already declared this message before I even spoke it. And I know it's exactly what you need because God brought you here so that you can hear what God has to say. That's the way he works. That's the way he works. God always knows what he's doing. Now, the problem is we don't know. See, and we try to think like God, but we can't think like God because we're too carnal in our thinking. And we're always trying to make our lives fit around what God does. Well, we think and then we do. That's how we think God does. God doesn't do it that way. God says it and then he brings it to pass. That's what the Bible is all about. That's why we needed the Word of God.
because we needed to know what God was going to do. God already knew what he's going to do. See, he didn't have to write it down. That was for our benefit. That's for our. His first Bible was in heaven. When God did the virgin all the way to Leo the lion. You say astrology? Yes. Astrology deals with God's first Bible. And though they, it's man, you know, it's just like reading in this Bible. Man can get a hold of it. And he can pervert it, and he can put his interpretation on it, but it doesn't make it wrong. It's still true. The first Bible in heaven was right. It's true. And man's taken it, and he's perverted it, and he's tried to use it for soothsayers and everything else, and try to do horoscopes. Some people won't get out of the house till they read the newspaper. And what they used to do, I don't know what they do now since they don't have no much newspapers. They used to read the newspaper and go out the house according to what those signs said about them for the day. And I guess they're used to online now, and I don't know, but I know they're still out there. But what they've done was they've perverted God's first Bible. And if you could really read God's first Bible, you could understand God. Because God's first Bible and this written word is one and the same. All he did was put it in writing so that you can pick up and read what he's saying and what he's going to do, what he has done, what he is doing. There's no other book in the entire world that can do that.
Amen.
There's no other group of people in the world that can do that but the believers, the Christians, because they're looking at the Word of God, as was saying this morning. We are the Word of God. As was talked about this morning, God already ordained our steps. Amen. God already said, I said, y'all were preaching a message, so I can cut it short because I got things to do anyway. But y'all were talking it all morning long, and every song, every testimony, if you were late, you missed God's word. You'd be mad if I closed up right now and walked out the door and went to Troy, because God's been talking since before the first song, before the song leaders got up. And I was sitting there listening to him. I said, okay, I see you, Lord. I see you. And some of us, we sit here in a daze thinking, all right, can't wait till church starts at 10. Okay, can't wait till the preacher gets up. All right, get the offering done so we can move this on so God can come and speak to us. God's been talking all morning. He's all morning been talking to us. So here you got Jacob and Esau here. And it's this, how in the world... Before they did any good, before they did lifting a finger. See, a lot of people think because you're doing good, you're serving God. That's not true. That's not true. You serve God because of who you are, not because of what you do. And see, that's where people have it mixed up. They think, oh, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to clean my life up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know what? If God hadn't already declared it, and already seen your end, it doesn't matter what you do. You say, well, I'm going to serve God all my life. I'm going to drop this. I'm going to drop that. That's good. Do it. Because, you know, a lot of it's bad habits anyway. But it's not going to change whether God's chose you or not. Because before Jacob did any good or evil, before Esau did any good or evil, because you got to remember, Esau did good. Matter of fact, Esau was better than Jacob. Isn't that the way it works out? Esau wasn't a bad guy. He served his dad. He loved his dad. He wanted to do the right thing. He was in line to receive the blessing. By nature, Esau was right. But because God already saw Esau's heart, and because God already saw Jacob's heart, he knew that one of them loved him, and the other one didn't. He knew one had a love for the birthright, respect for the birthright, and the other one didn't. He knew that one would sell him out, and the other would never do it. He knew that one would lie, cheat, and steal to get him. Isn't that awful?
Amen.
Jacob was a liar. He was a cheater. He was a stealer. Only thing good about Jacob is he loved the birthright. That was it. That was it. If you were going to judge them by their works, Esau wins. If you judge people by their works, you know there's people that are out here that don't serve God at all that live better than you. You get a good Muslim on your hand who really loves God, serving God, don't even believe in Jesus, he'll outshine you 100 to 1. I see them. They're out. They'll get in the middle of the day. They'll throw the mats down. They'll pray no matter. They're not ashamed of their gospel. They're not ashamed of their God. They'll pray in front of you. You better give them time to pray. You better let them do it. When I was over in the Philippines, they come out in Mindanao. You know what they do in Mindanao. At noontime, all the Muslims come in downtown. They don't go to the little shack or little closet, prayer closet. They come downtown, so many that it blocks the streets. You can't even get through. And they'll pray every day. Now, if I stood everybody up in here and I told y'all, when you don't do this, sit down. And I start describing what people do. Good people. None of us will be standing. We can't outshine them. You will not outshine Esau. But Esau's problem was that he didn't love God's word. Oh, you can be a good person without loving God's word. That ain't, being a good person, that's the word does not make you a good person. Some people are good and don't even believe in God. That's Esau. Esau loved his dad. He loved his birthright. He loved a lot of things, but he didn't love his birthright enough to give it all. And he gave enough of it to look like he loved it. That's what people do when they come to church. They give enough to look like they love God. I'm still preaching, y'all. Don't get quiet. They look like they love God. They dress like they love God. They talk like they love God. Esau had all of that. But when it came to the birthright, he didn't care enough for it. Now, he cared about it. He did care about it. But he just didn't care enough. It wasn't his life. It was just another portion of it. It was just a part of it. It was just something that he had coming to him because of who he was. But see, the thing about the birthright, you don't get the birthright just because you're the firstborn. You get the birthright because you have a love for the truth. Do you realize that the reason you love God and the reason God loves you is that you have a love for him? You really do. Oh, you don't have all the answers. You don't know everything. But there's something about God that you can't get away from. There's something about God that's pulling on you when everybody else says go the other way. You say, I can't help it. I got to. See, God already declared your end from your beginning. He already knows who loves him and who doesn't. He already knows who has the birthright and who loves the birthright and who doesn't. He already knows whether you're going to go all the way or not. All you got to do is endure. All you got to do is press. All you got to do is push. Just keep pushing towards that light. Keep pressing towards that mark and never give up. Esau gave up. Jacob didn't give up. Even though it wasn't even his. Do you realize this? We're not even the ones that's supposed to get it. We're Gentiles. We're clubs wearing heathens. Didn't even know God. Wasn't even supposed to have it. It was supposed to go to Israel. The Jews was the firstborn. There was one supposed to have had it. But because they didn't have a respect for the birthright, they crucified the sacrifice. They hung him on Calvary and said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And to this day, they're paying. And here we Gentiles. We were serving Zeus. When Paul went to the Greeks and he went to the temple, they had gods for everything. That's us. We have gods for everything. Your house could be your God. Your car could be your God. Your family could be your God. Your own self could be your God. Come on, y'all know I'm telling you the truth. We're heathens. We put things before God all the time. That's a Gentile for you. I used to go to church when I lived with my dad, and every Sunday morning I'd get up to go to church, and I'd look up the street and see my classmate out washing his car. He had a beautiful car, and he took care of that car every Sunday morning while I'm going to church. Randy Plumpmail, you know. Oh, I should have said his name. It went around the world. I forget sometimes. He's out there. I'm getting ready to go to church, and he's out washing that car. It was shine. It was beautiful. But I was going to serve my God, and he was going to serve his God. Some people can't go to church on Sunday because the football game's on. I'm going to serve my God, and they're going to serve their God. I was looking at people when I was driving to church today, too. I saw some out walking, some out jogging, some out visiting friends. I saw some, there's like a group of them were going to visit some friends. I looked at my clock and said, they're going over to their house at 9:30 in the morning? So they must be going for breakfast. See, this is what I'm thinking on the way to church here. I'm just, God's driving the church, checking out the neighborhood. And God was driving by, and there was about 8 or 9 of them in the driveway just going up to a house, and God said, well, maybe they're going there for breakfast. I'm going to serve my God. They're going to serve their belly. Some people's belly is their God. See, we Gentiles do that. That's the way we are. So the birthright wasn't for us, but we had faith. We had a love for it. I wanted this. Though this was given to Israel first, I got access to it. Thank God for Paul, because Paul brought it to the Gentiles. And he said, and see, remember, Peter had a fight about that. Peter was a little, you know, prejudiced. And he didn't like the Gentiles at all. And he felt like Cornelius and his family and everybody else, they're unclean people. They can't have this. And Peter was just getting them down the road and was only going to preach to the Jews and wasn't going to deal with the Gentiles. And he got, hey, Peter. God told him, hey, don't call unclean what I've cleaned. Don't call unclean what I've cleaned. Because God's already declared from the end that you're clean. When God said, be ye holy, that wasn't a question. That was just as much as a statement as when God said, let there be light. Yeah. See, when God talks, it's a declared statement. Yeah. When God said, be ye holy, we first thing we try to do is start working on our holiness. Try to work up our holy. We got to get holy. We better get better. We got to clean up. God ain't asking you to do nothing. God's telling you what you are. He's declaring that you're holy. Be ye holy just like I'm holy. Amen. It wasn't the mountain that was holy. It was a God on the mountain that was holy. And it's not you that's holy. It's God on you that makes you holy. So we get all mixed up trying to do something for God. Remember, the purpose of God is my title. Because God had a reason for everything he's done. He didn't do nothing for nothing. He doesn't make a move that he doesn't have a reason behind it. Right. He didn't put a star in space for just nothing. Right. There's a reason for every one of them. Do you know all those stars where they are keeping everything in balance? Yeah. Right. 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 That moon that's spinning around there is keeping things, the tides moving in and out. The spring, the weather. God's got spring, summer, fall, and winter because he's showing his own resurrection power, trying to show us by type and shadow. He does something for everything he does. But we get all mixed up in all things that we can do, but you cannot do nothing for your salvation. You can't give enough. You can't survive. You can't share enough. You can't clean up enough. Do you know every day you got to get a bath? Even when you get the Holy Ghost, you still got to take a shower. Why? Because your house is rotten. Your spirit is rotten. And the only thing that's changing is right about you is your soul. That's why you have to be born again. When you're born again, it's no longer I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And when Christ is living in there, don't worry about the end from the beginning. Because he's got your end. He won't even give you the new birth without knowing that you're going to be eternal. See, there's only one form of eternal life. That's God's own life. And if you have new birth and new soul now, it's because you are eternal and a part of God. And all God's doing is coming looking for you. All he's coming down here is to get you because you are the Word of God. And you will manifest the Word of God. That's what you're ordained to do. That's what you will do. It was God all in all. Amen. Brother Branham said, now, he says, you will want to know that if I believe in the doctrine of preexistence. I don't believe in that Mormon doctrine of preexistence of souls any more than I believe in the reincarnation or the transmigration of souls. Be careful here and see this. It's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. See, we get that mixed up and think, oh, I'm predestinated. You're not predestinated. If you're not the Word of God as saying this morning, then you're not predestinated. What makes you the Word of God? You are fulfilling this. You're fulfilling the Word of God. That makes you the Word of God. And that's what God is dealing with. Not that you're predestinated. Your flesh and your spirit is not predestinated. He said, be careful here. See this. It's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It is the word or seed. That's it. See, you got to understand. Every eternal. I ain't got time. Every person who ever will have eternal life has to already have it. By definition. The word eternal is never having a beginning and never having an end. Only thing that is eternal is God. And anything that God deals with. And anything that God determines is a part of him. So if you have eternal life this morning, it's not that I'm going to put a chair out here and have you come and join the church and become a part of the church. You're already a part of it because you're seed and you're a part of God's germ seed that's here waiting to manifest. You have to have a piece of God himself in you already or you cannot be eternal. You have to already be the one that God's looking for. You have to already be that Jacob. Jacob had a love for the birthright because he had a germ seed in him. Before he did good or evil. If you have eternal life here today, before you did any cleaning up, any goodness of your own, anything you can offer God, all your goodness, kindness, trying to open a door for people, baking cookies for the sick, visiting them in the hospital, praying for everybody. Before you did any of that, there already had to be a part of God in you that drew you to him. Because God's got a plan. Amen. God's got a purpose. And God's never veered off his plan at all. You think Jesus dying on the cross was a variation of the plan of God? It was the very plan itself. Because remember, that lamb was slain when? Before the foundation of the world. It was already God's plan. God's already had the complete thing in his mind. In his thinking. Every molecule, everything that ever was going to come into existence was already in the mind of God. You say, how do you know he's real? Because I'm here. He said I'd come and I'm here. It's not you that's predestinated. It's that word or that seed. What word? Every person that ever manifested the word of God had a piece of God in them. I mean, think about it. In the Old Testament, when they prophesied, they said a virgin shall conceive. Then that was the spoken word of God. Took hundreds and hundreds of years for that to manifest. But it didn't change God's mind about his word. And when Mary, who was a seed of God, she had to be a seed of God because she was going to fulfill the word of God. And when the angel came to Mary and told her, you're the one, Mary, Isaiah spoke of you. And the scripture said, a virgin shall conceive. And you haven't married Joseph yet. So, Mary, you're the chosen one. Chosen to do what? Bring forth a child. Now, did Mary have to go out and do anything? Her very life became the word of God. Do you realize that? It wasn't that Mary said, okay, angels chose me. I'm going to bring forth this child. Now, I've got to go back and look in the scripture. Now, it says that he's going to be born in Bethlehem, and by him being born in Bethlehem, Joseph, we got to take a trip. We got to get to Bethlehem because this baby's got to be born in Bethlehem. Mary didn't know. She didn't even know that. She didn't even know the scriptures like that. All she had was the angel come and talk to her and said, you're the one. And what did she say? Be it unto me according to thy word. That's what every believer says. And from that point forward, Mary became the manifested word of God. And so much, though, that the Catholics think that Mary was immaculately concepted like Jesus was. But Mary was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, needed a Savior just like you and me. Only thing Mary had going for her was her life lined up with the word of God. And it wasn't Mary going to the scrolls and saying, okay, now we got to call his name Jesus. We got to do this. Joseph, we need to move. We got to hurry up because we got to go down. They're going to have to put us in a barn. See, the thing about it, it was nothing to do with Mary's travels, nothing to do with Mary's desires, nothing to do with anything that Mary wanted to do. She just happened to be the word of God. The manifested word of God. Now, that's the difference between the word of God and a manifested word of God. You're the word of God when it's the seed of God in you. That is the word of God. But the seed of God in you is not a manifested word of God. When the word of God is manifested in you, it goes forward and it fulfills the purpose of God through you.
Amen.
And you don't have anything to do with it. Just as much as Mary didn't have anything to do with being having a baby in a barn, you had nothing to do with being here today.
Amen.
It's the word or the seed. That's it. Way back there, too far back for the human mind to grasp. The eternal God with eternal thoughts, thought and decreed, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Romans 9:13, and neither were born, and neither had done good or evil. See, it was the thought, and then the thought became expressed. And God brought back Jacob because Jacob alone was seed. Jacob alone had the seed. That's why he had respect to the birthright and the covenant of God. If you are a true seed, you will hear the word. The Spirit will baptize you into the body of Christ, filling you and empowering you, and you will receive the word for your day and age. See how clear and true the evidence becomes when the word is revealed to you?
Amen.
If you have a seed of God in you, there is a point in your life that you will manifest the word of God. You will. It's not even optional. He's already declared the end from the beginning. He would not even give you the seed of God if you wouldn't go all the way. If you weren't eternal, he wouldn't give a part of himself to you. But because ye are sons, he sends forth his spirit into this world, whereby you cry, Father, Father. You recognize you're a part of him and he's a part of you. You recognize you come from God and you're going back to God. Because you're a son, that the purpose of God would be fulfilled. That's the whole reason we're here. God had a purpose. God had a plan. That great masterpiece he was going to build. And God was going to do this. And God's purpose supersedes yours. You think you're doing this. You think you chose your mate. You think you chose your church. You think you chose what you believe. You think you chose. You know what? All you did was said, just like Mary, be it unto me according to your word. That's all you can say. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. You say, well, what if I don't believe? I can't help you. That's a personal revelation somebody said between you and God. You and God have to have that conversation, not you and me and God. I can preach all day long, but if it doesn't quicken the word in you and you don't believe it, I can't help you. I have nothing else to give. If I could give a revelation, I'd give it to everybody. If I could save everybody, I'd save the whole world. Jesus wanted to all, it was his will that no man should perish. Amen. That was the man's side. He didn't want any man to perish, but he knew they would. I don't want man to perish, but I know they will. I want everybody to believe, but I know they all can't. But the thing is, you got to know this for yourself. And I'm not talking about knowing everything. I'm talking about knowing God's talking to you and you talking to God. That you and he got a personal relationship. And when you get that, can't nobody take that away from you. Whether they kill you, stab you, throw you in a lion's den, burn you in the furnace, whatever, it doesn't even matter. Hang you on a cross upside down, you'll never deny the birthright. I see them fall to the left and the right, but I am fully persuaded. I am fully persuaded. I can't talk about you, but I am fully persuaded that neither height nor depth, nor things present or things to come, nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. Amen. Nothing can. Let the world fall apart. I'm still loving.
That's right.
Let everything go to wherever. And it is. I'll still serve him every day of my life. Because you got to understand, God has a great mystery, great purpose, and you are a part of it, and I am a part of it. And that's what we do. We manifest the word of God. Amen. That's all we can do. That's all Mary could do. That's all Jesus could do. Do you know Jesus ain't doing any more than what you have to do?
Amen.
You say, but he went to Calvary. Well, that was the part of the word that was talking about him. It didn't have nothing to do with me. My blood on Calvary wouldn't have done a thing, but his blood on Calvary did everything. But you know, he had to make up his own mind. See, you got to make up your mind. Jesus, remember the garden of Gethsemane when he went in there to pray? Jesus wasn't just a robot. Jesus was a man. He had to decide to serve God.
That's right.
You think that Jesus was here? I must do thy will. I must. No, Jesus had to make up his mind.
Yes, sir.
Jesus had to decide. Yes. Jesus got tired. Jesus got hungry. Jesus got, he got disturbed. Yes. He got mad, angry with them.
Yep.
He just got disgusted with his disciples many times. He's all man. Yes. And he was all God. But in the all man part, he had to decide what he was going to do.
Right.
Remember when he went to the garden? Yes. He was there as a man. And he had to decide if he was going to do this. He said, Lord, if it be thy will, if it's possible, take this cup from me. You know why it wasn't possible? Because he's the only man that could pay that price.
That's right.
I don't want to die. Jesus did not want to die. He did not want to pay that price. Y'all think he just picked up the cross and ran up to Calvary? No. He lamented the idea of having to do this. But he understood also that he was here to fulfill the word of God. And it was necessary that one man should die for us all. It was necessary. The Bible said in the Old Testament, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. He knew that he had to go that route, but he didn't want to, but he did it anyway because he had a love for the birthright. And he made up his mind in the Garden of Gethsemane that although I don't want to do this, have y'all ever come to y'all's garden? I have many times. Many times. I've been to the garden many times, Don. I don't want to do this. But I have to do this. It's not my will, but thine be done. Jesus said, take it away from me. But then they turned around and said, but I can't do it. I can't do this myself. But Lord, if that's what your word requires, I am willing. See, that's somebody who loves the birthright. That's somebody who is serving the purpose of God. That's somebody who is giving up everything else and saying, Lord, not my will, but thine. Let me be the living word of God manifested to this generation. And you know, every believer all the way from that time, from the beginning, has always surrendered themselves to the word of God. And what makes us different than the rest of the world? The rest of the world cannot separate themselves from the word of God. They can't realize that the word's more important than what I want. The word's more important than what my friends want. The word's more important than my career. It's more important than where I live. It's more important than me having a family. It's more important than me having kids. It's more important than, it's got to be first. He's not going to take second place. Jay always tells me, second place is the first loser. And God ain't going to lose. You're going to put him first. Every seed of God will put him first. Because you can't even be the manifested word of God till you manifest. You can't have a seed of God and you say, well, I'm a seed of God. And I look at your life and it doesn't match the word of God. You say, well, I'm the word of God for this day, but I'm going to go to the denomination. Then you're not the word of God for this day. It's not manifesting. You can go down all you want, but you won't be a manifested son for the hour that you're living in. Every manifested son will fulfill the purpose of God for the hour that they're living in. Every one of them, bar none. Nobody slips by. Nobody gets away with it. And you want to have your own life? Go ahead and have your own life. Your manifestation will show whether you're the word of God or not. And do you realize if you're not the word of God, my Bible tells me heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Everything is going down but the word of God. Get you a new boat. Get you a big house. Get you a fine job. Get you all that career stuff. Do all those things. Have all that. That's what Kevin was saying. They're going after all this other stuff and missing out. That right here is where you need to be. Amen. Right where the word of God is coming from, because you can't be the word if you don't hear the word. Amen. You can't hear the word without a preacher. Amen. And every preacher ain't sent. Amen. You got to find one that's fulfilling the purpose of God. He's got to be bringing in word on word, Don. He's got to be the word of God right before your very eyes. Amen. You say, you don't look like the word of God to me, neither did Jesus. That's right. But he fulfilled his job, and I'm fulfilling my job. And if you're the word of God, you're going to fulfill your job. Because our purpose is lined up with the word of God. We're a part of the word of God. God loves us, and we love God, and we will do his will. We will do his will because we can do no other. Amen. If you can do other than the will of God, do it. Take your best shot. Jonah did. How'd that work out for him? See, God ain't going to make you do it. But he'll set you up to where you'll be glad to do it. Jonah didn't have to go preach to Nineveh. Jonah said, matter of fact, I'm going fishing. God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, I ain't going to do it. I'm going fishing. I ain't serving you. I ain't serving nobody. I'm going to be the God of my own self. And I'm going fishing today. And Jonah, and God said, okay. Go on with your bad self. And Jonah went out and went fishing. Got on that boat. God just took his little finger. Started knocking it around. And everybody on the boat said, whoa! Whoa! What's going to hit? See, God can put you in a position where the world have to testify of him. They started knocking that boat around, and everybody on boat but Jonah was starting to cry for God. They weren't even believers, and they were crying. Every man crying, pray to your God. See those Gentiles? They don't know nothing. And Jonah's getting knocked around the boat, and he's like, all right, somebody on here sinned. Who did this? Jonah's like, it's me. God told me to go to Nineveh, and I didn't want to go. So the only way y'all going to be saved, I got to get off this boat. Or God will pray, takes us the whole thing down. See, God ain't worried about Pete, that's not his kids. He ain't worried about them. He's going only for his own. So they threw Jonah overboard, but because God already declared the end from the beginning, God had a disabled fish. I'm trying to use the proper terms. A disabled fish grew with a goiter or something on the inside that was an irritant all of his life. All the whales around him, like, man, you got problems. You got this little bulge over here full of air. Just, man, you're in trouble. And he grew up like that. See, that's the way God does it. God doesn't have to just all of a sudden. God caused that fish. That's why he didn't call it a whale, because it wasn't a whale. It was a weird fish. And this fish had a little pocket built inside of him that and bothered him all his life and always caused him gas, and he had air pockets in it. And it's like, ooh, this is just an awful life. Well, they threw Jonah overboard because Jonah wasn't going to serve God no more. God put that fish right in the crosshairs of Jonah's falling body, and he belched just at the right time, opened up his mouth, and Jonah got sucked into this little room that was a tumor that's been a problem all of his life. Just big enough for one man to sit on this little bump right in the middle. And it was full of air. It was a sore spot for that fish all of his life. Who's sin? This man or this fish? So Jonah sat in there 3 days. That was just enough time for him to repent. See, God knows how to work. God ain't going to make you do it. He didn't make Jonah go to Nineveh. He just put him in circumstances that made him wish he went to Nineveh. When you sit inside of that fish for 3 days, smelling like fish, hungry, thirsty, nasty, you're sitting there, no light. All you got, you know what? When you're in pitch dark, only thing that works is your mind. And he sat there and he thought about it. He said, you know, it wouldn't have been so bad if I'd gone to Nineveh. They could have had an opportunity. They needed. And so on those three days, Jonah became a saint. By that third day, he found himself ready to pray. See, God knows how to make you pray. He ain't going to make you pray, but he knows how to. By that third day, Jonah's like, well, can't see, can't talk to nobody. Lord, I guess I'm going to face that temple woman. How'd he know which way the temple was? See, the temple is in your heart. It ain't a physical temple. It gets you to looking at where God is. And when Jonah looked into the temple, and started talking to God. He said, Lord, you know, your idea of me going to Nineveh, I thought it was a bad one, but, you know, it ain't that bad. You know how God will get you to say these famous words? If I ever get out of this. Just once more, Lord. See, God knows how to get you. If I ever get out of here, I will do your will. So, yeah, take your best shot. Be your own man. Go and do, serve yourself. Put yourself on that throne. Throw God off of there and put yourself on there. If you're a seed of God, he ain't going to make you do it, but he's going to make you wish you did it. That old saying, I can take you to water, but I can't make you drink, but I can make you wish you did. You know, that's the way God does it. He'll put you through some stuff. He'll wreck you. He will wreck you. And your plans and your thoughts and all. You say, well, you're threatening me. No, I'm just telling you. He'll do that to the seed of God. If God never wrecks you, and you get out, and he never comes and talks to you, and never visits you, and never says nothing to you, you weren't his in the first place. But we got this great mystery, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and without controversy, I wouldn't even argue about it. Great is the mystery of godliness. Remember, I'm talking about the purpose of God. God was manifested in flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. There's his plan. There's his purpose. That's what he wanted to do. But God cannot do his purpose without man. Because you're a part of his plan. You're a part of his purpose. I'm looking at that clock. You're a part of his plan, and he wants to use you. You will not be used by God until you are manifesting the word of God, just like Mary did. A virgin shall conceive. She was not the word of God in manifestation until she became the virgin that conceived. And then after that, everything just fell into place. All the other scriptures and all the other prophecies about her and Jesus and Joseph and Bethlehem and Judah and Egypt and all those scriptures that were already prophesied in the Old Testament that nobody paid attention to, Mary was living it. She was the living word of God. God had a threefold purpose of himself. And this is in Christ the mystery. First, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Secondly, to have preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, the bride, till he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. That's the second part. That's where we're at. That's what we're doing. All the way down through the ages. You see this on this wall. That is the very manifestation of the word of God. They didn't even know it. They didn't understand it. They didn't know how. They just were sort of batting in the dark and trying to figure this out and trying to do the best they can. And it seemed like everything they did was falling apart. The world was getting worse. People were just, it's gotten bad. So much so in the last age, it ended up in total darkness. No light. And this is the church. This is not the world. You look at the world and you say, the world's in bad shape. Yeah, it is. But it's in bad shape, but the church is in worse. Because they're blind, wretched, miserable, poor, and know it. The church is blind, wretched, miserable, poor, and don't know it. But they feel like they're doing the word of God, but in order to do the word of God, you have to fulfill the word of God that's laying in line for you. You can't just fulfill the word for any day. You can't just be anybody. I can't just go to Jerusalem and go to the grave side of Jesus and go to try to wash his feet and do. That's already done. That's not what he's looking for out of you. He doesn't even need that out of you. It's already been done. What he needs you to do is to fulfill the word for your day. For the hour that you are living in. Because you got to understand, everybody that is fulfilling the word of God is the word of God. The day I recognized that, I was born again, actually. The day I recognized that I was literally, not figuratively, I was literally fulfilling the word of God. I was reading the Bible and looked and saw me. What I was doing in my life matched the scripture. And I recognized that while I was moving around this earth, I was the living word of God. People talk about the living word of God, but they don't know the living word of God is in people. It's not in that book. Don't think you're going to get it in that book. That book is a book of prophecies and telling you what God's going to do and what God has done. But until it gets in you, you become the living word of God. Amen. Like they said this morning, you are what you eat. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was nothing made that was made. Jump down to verse 14 because they go together. And the Word was made flesh. How was the Word made flesh? Jesus was born by the Word of God. Jesus was spoken into existence by the word of God. Right. It wasn't Mary's egg and Joseph's seed. No. It was the spoken word of God, egg and seed. Amen. It wasn't the blood of man. It wasn't the Jewish blood. No. It was the blood of God that was spoken into existence. Amen. Because he had to manifest the word of God. And the only way he could do that was become flesh. Yes. Right. Only way the word of God can be manifested is become flesh. Only way the word of God can be made manifest in this day is to become your flesh. Right. You have to become the living word of God. Not just read about it. Everybody reads about it, but ain't nobody living it. Right. Unless you become the word of God, you have no eternal life about you. The only thing that's eternal is the word of God. So you have to find out the word of God for you. What your purpose is. Because if your purpose is not tied in with God's purpose, then it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do me no good for John's purpose to go out and work in his yard. That ain't going to help me. That'll help John. That's John's purpose. Well, my purpose might be working in my yard. Now, if he come over to my house and help me with my work, then he is serving my purpose. See how that works? You can see that how that works. So if you're alive and you are serving your own purpose and not worried about the purpose of God, you are doing God no service. That's why he don't need you. But if you're alive and you're fulfilling the purpose of God, then you're doing what God wants you to do. He wants the hearts of the children to be turned back to the fathers. He wants the hour of the Son of Man. I'm talking about some stuff for us. The day of the Son of Man be revealed. Son of Man is the fullness of the Word of God made flesh. He needs to have somebody to do that. Not just read it. But your very life becomes it. See, that's the thing is, people don't want God to become their life. They like a taste of God. They want a little bit of God. But they don't want God to own them. They don't want him to take everything. They want him to be their Savior, but they don't want him to be their Lord. They don't want God to own them. See, people, owning is a bad word in this hour. Because of age of rights, everybody's rights. Everybody has rights. You don't have rights to own nobody. Well, God owns you. He bought you. He paid the price for you. Amen. He said, well, I don't believe he paid the price for me. And he didn't. You know what? He paid it, but you're just not accepting it. He paid the price for the whole world. He paid it for us all. But you know what? A pardon is not a pardon except it's received as a pardon. Y'all know that story. The man that was sentenced to die in jail, and He was wanting to get a pardon from President Abraham Lincoln. This is a true story. And he sent off to get this letter. And Abraham Lincoln was out in the field. He wasn't at the White House. And they came and said, Mr. Lincoln, President, sir, we need you to give a pardon to this prisoner who's going to be put to death if he doesn't get a pardon from you. And Abraham Lincoln's like, well, I don't have anything here in the field with me. All I got is this napkin. I'll just write it on this napkin. So he wrote in this napkin and sent it back. And they gave the guy the pardon, said, President Lincoln pardons you. And he said, well, where's the presidential seal? Where's the White House letterhead? Where's the formal documentation? He said, well, go back and get the thing right. While he was gone to get this letterhead and presidential seal, they executed him. And then they took it to court because it didn't seem right that they got away with murder. And probably his wife and kids were like, hey, you're going to pay us. You killed our, and the president just pardoned him. He was pardoned. And they took it to court and they said, well, yes, the president had pardoned him, but he didn't accept the pardon. And the judge ruled, he said, a pardon is not a pardon except to be accepted as a pardon. Amen. And that's the way it is with Jesus Christ. He died for the whole world. But you got to accept him. You're not going to get away with just saying, I don't believe in God and I get to go to heaven anyway. No, you got to accept this pardon. If you don't accept it, it's not for you. You got to believe that little note on the napkin was written in your blood for you. That it was your pardon and you'll get out of jail free. That's where we're at. But if you don't accept it, there's nothing else that they can do for you. No judge, no jury, no nothing can do anything about it. Man has a choice. Back in Genesis, I won't go back there, but you know the story. Genesis 2, when God put Adam on the earth, he gave him free moral agent. He made him a free moral agent, said, you have a choice. Remember, you can serve God or not. That's your choice. God ain't going to make you serve him. He told Adam, he said, Adam, you eat of this tree and you'll live. Any other tree in the forest you can eat out of it and live. You eat of this tree, touch this tree, you'll die. It's your choice. Seems simple enough. Because Adam was a man, he decided, I'm a free moral agent. I don't have to serve God. I don't have to believe God. I can choose this for myself. So he partook of that tree and killed us all. Killed us all. But it was his choice. See, God's not, like I said, God's not going to make you fulfill his purpose. He wants you to. He'll lay it out and show you what it is. But you have to accept it. Salvation is a free gift. It's a free gift. It's a gift. You got to accept the gift. I give Jeremiah a gift, and he throws it back at me. I'm taking it home. He didn't even open it and see what it is. It could have been a lot of money. So he throws it back at me. I just take it home. You don't have to receive this free gift. You don't have to serve God. You don't have to believe there is a God. You don't have to believe nothing. That's your free moral agent. That's your choice. I'm here because I want to serve God. You say, well, I want to serve God in the world too. You can't. You can't serve God and man. The world's pulling on you and it's pulling so hard that you can't serve God and you just got to be out in the world and doing all this stuff and be partakers of the world. Then go ahead, do it. It's your choice. God ain't going to make you serve him. He's gonna lay it out so that you can. And you know what? You should be thankful to God that he even brought you to this place. Amen. That you could even have an opportunity to be able to hear the word of God so that you can receive it. Amen. A lot of people don't get this opportunity. And for you to be here and spurn this, it's on you. Amen. For you to come here and turn this down, it's on you. For you to come here and take it lightly, it's on you. You can't serve God's purpose like that. And I wouldn't expect you to. Joshua got the people together, and he told them over there in Joshua chapter 24, said, choose this day who you're going to serve. Yeah. You choose. See, the thing about it, God don't choose for you. God don't make you. But God being all-knowing, he already knows what you're going to do.
Right.
So you're not going to sneak up on him and accidentally choose him, or you're not going to sneak up on him and slip out. He already knows. And so all we're ambassadors here. My job is to tell you what the Word of God says, show you where the Word of God says it, and then it's up to you to believe it or not. That's where I have to take my hands off. I might love you to pieces, but where it comes to you and God and your relationship, I have nothing to do with it. It's not me and you and God. It's a personal revelation, a personal relationship. It's you and God having this going on. And God's talking to you and telling you, you're my manifested word. And you're here saying, I'm here to do thy will, O God. And you're willing to do it. Right. Willing to do it.
Right.
Like if we go to collect offering and we get down to the seat and Jeremiah's got a $100 bill and he dreaded getting out of the bank. He dreaded bringing it to church because he knew he was going to put that $100 bill in that offering. And Brother Kevin comes up to it to plate. Jeremiah holds on to half, and Kevin grabs half, and he's got half, and it's like, man, this is hard. Keep your money. If you don't freely give it, don't give it. If you don't freely serve God, don't serve him. If you don't freely love God, don't love him. God ain't forcing you to do this. This is all you. You're here because you want to be here. You're here because you choose to be here. You're here because there's something on the inside of you pulling you, saying, you know this is right. You know this is right. You say, I don't have all the answers. Don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers to know it's right. That blind man that was healed, they said, well, did you know Jesus healed you on the seventh day? Oh, yeah, he did. That's all good. Now, how'd he do it? I don't know. All I know is I was blind and I could see. That's all I know. That's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you. So we're here to fulfill the purpose of God.
Amen.
We're here to do the will of God. Now, Revelation chapter 5, because I'm about wrapping this up. No man was able to loose the seals. I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne the book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open a book and loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor on earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither look thereon. We all were blinded. We were groping in darkness, didn't know what it was. The book was sealed up. What book? The Bible. The Bible was sealed up. And nobody knew what was going on the inside of that book until God sent a prophet. Nobody knew what the purpose of God really was. Nobody really understood it. They had bits and pieces and here and there, and they trying their best to figure it out, but nobody really understood it. Then God sent a prophet, and he explained it to us, and now we're sitting here, books wide open. We're talking from anywhere, from Genesis to Revelation, explaining it all. We know the whole plan of God. We know the purpose of God. We know the whole thing. We're not sitting in darkness now.
No, no.
We have a clear understanding.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For just a second. And we know. We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, not yours. Oh, you might have a purpose, but you know what happens with a believer? Their purpose starts lining up with his purpose. If the purpose don't line up, then I drop my purpose. Not my will, not my career, not my direction, not my home, not my Lord. I'm lining my purpose up with yours because your purpose is perfect. And when your purpose lines up with his purpose, then everything about your life falls in line.
Amen.
It all works for your good, because God's going to make sure it does, because you're here doing His will. Oh, if John comes over to work on my yard, I'm going to give him a hoe. I'm going to give him a shovel. I'm going to give him some plants. I'm going to give him some grass. I'm going to supply him with everything he needs to help me with. There won't be no doubt in my mind that John's there to help me, because I'm going to give him everything he needs. And when you are trying to do the purpose of God, and you're lining your life up with the purpose of God, God will supply you with all of your needs. And no matter which direction you lean, he'll be there. No matter what direction you go, he'll be there. No matter what problems you get in, he'll be there. No matter what traps comes your way, he'll be there, because he's going to make sure you have everything you need. Because your purpose is lined up with his purpose. Your will is his will. Your direction is his direction. And he's going to make sure that all things work together for your good. The good and the bad. In the good times, praise his name. In the bad times, do the same. In everything, give him the praise. Because God's got your life, and your life is lined up with his purpose. That's why we can say it all works together for our good. Because it doesn't matter which way it goes, it's good. Amen. Do you know when Jonah got in that well, you know he got to Nineveh faster than he would have if he went by a trail? All things! You know what it did? It got in there earlier. Matter of fact, they worshiped the fish. So who better than to talk to you than some man walking out of a fish? You're going to listen to him.
Oh yeah.
And you know what they did? They repented.
Yeah.
Jonah got closer to God. They repented. The fish God was showing who the real God was. All of it worked together for good. Matter of fact, it worked so good, Jonah got mad and said he was mad that they repented. Jonah, that's why you went there. So your life, no matter what's going on in it, whether it's your dad falling out of the bed, what your job comes in on you, your family turns their back on you, your friends walk away, whatever. You say, these are all bad things. They're only bad to those who serve in their own purpose.
Right.
But when you're serving the purpose, what did it do to Christy? It made her call on the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. Because God turned around and answered her call. Answered her prayer. Took care of the need in your lives when you're dealing with your kids and you're dealing with your friends. Don't worry about it. It all works together for your good. Your good. Your. See that one-on-one?
Yeah.
It doesn't work together for everybody's good, because everybody ain't overworking in my yard. It only works for those who serve my needs. It only works when you're serving God's needs. When you're doing the will of the Father, he's going to make sure you have everything you need. My life is great.
Yeah.
I'm living a good life. To know what I know, to see what I see,
amen,
to know that God's got my life lined up with his word, and I am right in line to Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm marching right there. And all that's going on in my life, one of these days I'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, because I am the living, manifested word of God. And my word that I'm manifesting is marching me right to Thessalonians chapter 4. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's just as much as the word of God is let there be. And when you line your life up with the purposes of God, you can't help but to march yourself right, because you are the, remember, we're the living word of God. Thessalonians chapter 4 is the word of God, but it's only in seed form until it's in a body and it's manifesting. And he said, all shall not sleep, but all shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Somebody's got to fulfill that. Why not me? Somebody, that's just as much of the word of God as everything else. They fulfilled the word of God all the way down through the ages and didn't even know it. I'm fulfilling the word of God now that the seals are open and I know it. So make as many wrong turns as you make. Make all the bad decisions that you want. Good or bad. all things work together for your good. Not everybody, but you see, that's what cracks me up. People use that scripture and they ain't serving God worth a dime. I look at their life, they ain't trying to do the will of God. They ain't trying to line up with the word. They're not concerned about. And I look at them and I says, why are they even quoting that scripture? Because you're not the called. How do you know if you're the called? Because your life will match the word. You'll find yourself fulfilling the word of God. Those are the ones who called. Those are the ones he justifies, and those are the ones he's going to glorify. Already glorified. He already declared the end. I told you at the beginning. I did tell y'all that at the beginning. See, I already told y'all the ending at the beginning. Must be God. But that's the way he talks.
Amen.
Nobody else understands that. But all things work together for your good. Because we're here to serve the purpose of God. And no other reason. No other thing on earth. There's no other reason for us to be here. You're doing the will of God, and God is using you to fulfill his purpose. You might think that's an easy little type and shadow of me inviting John over to do work in my yard. But it should make sense to everybody. When you're doing something around your house and somebody comes over to help you, it makes you feel good because they're doing something for your purpose. How much more is it for God? When we give up these little piddly things of the world, when we stop letting the world rule us, get the smell of the world off you, quit trying to act like them, look like them, dress like them, talk like them, walk like them. Be different. Be unique. Be a son and daughter of God. Just giving your life to his purpose and getting really serious about serving him. Remember I said it at the beginning of the year. It's a year to get more dedicated, more serious than ever before. It made some get closer. It drew some away. But it doesn't change the fact that it's the hour that we're living in. It's an hour that we need to face up and let God have our life. Let us serve his purpose. And if you do that, you'll be right in the will of God. Heavenly Father, we're grateful this morning for your understanding that you've given us of your purpose. Lord, we are the Word of God. We're the manifested sons and daughters of God, and we're here to do thy will. Oh, help us, Father, to lay everything aside and let our lives, and our lives will match the Word because that's just who we are. We don't have to try to figure it out and make it happen, Lord. It'll happen despite us. It's so perfect. Your predestinated seed is so perfect. Your foreknowledge is so perfect. And we're so grateful to be a part of it. I don't want to take it lightly. I don't want to take it for granted. But I want the world to be able to see me and see you while they're looking. Let them see you in me. Because I am the Word of God manifesting in the hour that we're living in. Thank you, Father, for this congregation. Thank you for the believers who wants to stand for the truth. Help us, Lord, as we go today, let us put you first, keep you first in our lives, and take that stand that we are a believer, that we're going to be different than the rest of the world and not just get suckered in by their lies and traditions and thoughts. But, Lord, we'll press towards the mark of the high calling. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for the opening of the word and how you blessed us in so many ways. Be with us till we get back together, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. Like I said this morning, the songs were right in line, all of them, with what we were going to be talking about today. And it's a good thing to be able to come here in the house of God and to hear the will of God. It's a good thing to want to worship God. It's a good thing to want to serve God. It's a good thing to want to be the final voice to the final age. It's a good thing to hold on to God's unchanging hand and let him have our lives.
It's a good thing to be a part of the family of God. Now, like I said, we're going to be leaving, going to Troy here shortly. We'll stop and get something to eat on the way, those whoever's going to go. It's at 2 o'clock, and you have the address. I don't know. It's not at the church. It's at some center. Huh? Someplace out there. I don't know. That's why I wasn't going to try. But 2 o'clock, and then we'll be back tonight here at 7. And we're, tonight, I think what we'll do, we had a conversation earlier about Revelation chapter 12. We talked about it amongst our Sunday night service, and there were questions that we said, let's go back and let us look at it. So we have gone back and looked at it. We actually looked at it a long time ago. It's just been a while. So we get so busy that we didn't get back. So I thought tonight would be a good night. Jeremiah and Jay and myself have already gone through chapter 12. And so we're going to talk about that, Lord willing, tonight. So if you want to take a look at that today, and then when you come tonight, you'll be at least have a clue of what we're talking about. So I appreciate it. I told Jeremiah, I think I'm going to let him lead it up tonight, and I'll be here. But they got plenty of ammo. So, amen. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God, born of His Spirit and cleansed by His blood. Join Ezra Jesus as we travel this side. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. Don't you want to be a part of this family? Amen. This family has benefits. So many benefits. Amen. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. I've been born of His Spirit and cleansed by His blood. Join here. As we travel, I'm a part of the family.